I'm currently trying to, you know how on Windows there's the auto hide the taskbar thing you can do?
Yeah.
I'm trying to do that through like a batch script. And the only the way I found to do it was either change a registry key or load in Visual Basic scripting and have your computer like open it up, hit tab 3 times, hit the space bar and close it.
I think
that was the route I went with.
The why not both meme comes to mind, you know,
because that would undo it.
Right.
Why not both?
Double negative is a positive.
So you do it both ways.
So why did you want to trigger this with a script?
Well, recently Michelle and I have been playing a game called Stardew Valley.
Ah.
Yeah. And you can play multiplayer on the same computer, but like it's best to hide the taskbar, change the zoom scaling to 100% from what I have at 125, and then open up 2 instances of it, move one over to the right, resize all the windows. And I'm just getting tired of it. And so I'm trying to make something that just does all that for me by clicking it once. So I've got start up 2 instances of Stardew Valley. That was easy. Then I got set the scaling to 100%. And now I'm working on hide the taskbar. So
it's available on iOS.
Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
It's pretty fun. It's especially fun to play with your wife, or at least to play with my wife.
I'm not very fond of social obligations of the video game, as CGP Gray calls it.
Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah. I feel like it was a lot less stressful before we realized like how to make friends with the villagers. Mm. Once we figured that out and started trying to give gifts to everybody every week, it became exhausting because you're trying to manage everything and run around and give things to people. And
yeah,
I kind of wish we had never worked on that.
That's kind of how I feel about life.
I know, right?
It's funny because it's true.
Yeah, a lot of my relationships in life are decaying because my relationships in Stardew Valley are doing great.
See? Win-win.
Look, guys, it's a Craig.
Don't frighten him away. What a beauty. Thank you.
Oh, man. If I'd known all four of you guys were going to, all three of you guys, four including me, were going to be on, I would have just pulled out of this week's episode and said, go without me. Because we've got people coming to our house in 40 minutes and been madly trying to clean and stuff like that and have a shower, which is kind of important as well. So
we'll probably have... I have a couple questions for you in chat about the direction of the toilet water swirling and also whether in fact you really are on the other side of the world.
Do you need to record a question and answer with me about that now before I go?
Yeah. Are you really on the other side of the world?
Yes, I'm really on the other side of the world.
Dang it. Okay.
And I haven't actually, have I been... is the Philippines north or south of the equator? It's still south, right? Just.
You're asking Americans, north,
but
we literally don't care about any country that doesn't at least have half of the economy that we have.
Wow.
Or nuclear
According
weapons.
According to Google, it's north.
Welcome to America.
It's north. Okay, yes. So I have been to the northern hemisphere. It can't be far across the equator, surely. Anyway, I have been to the northern hemisphere, and I can't remember which way the water drains, but I have heard from Americans who have come here to Australia that it does go in the opposite direction. So
did you,
I've seen it filmed by Americans saying, what, it's going the other way. And they've been really surprised by that. So
did all the blood rush to your feet when you were north?
No. Well,
did you have a hard time clinging to the world? I'm just curious.
I was on a mission trip, and we were running basketball tournaments for guys who lived in slums as a way of getting them to get together and do something positive and have fun and also have Christian devotions at halftime and stuff. And so I pretty much felt like I was dying because I was running in humid 38 degree Celsius heat when you just suck in air and what you're sucking in doesn't feel like air. It feels like liquid. And you're like...
Oh, you're talking. Yeah.
Oh, that didn't help at all. It's just horrible. So.
Fun fact, the humidity can get to 100% and the atmosphere is not water somehow.
Oh, there you go. But that's what it feels like. It feels like there's nothing refreshing about what you're sucking in. It's just some substance that is making you feel even more terrible than before you did the big suck in of air. So, anyway, yes, I probably felt like all sorts of things were draining to my feet at that point. And it wasn't a great feeling, but.
All right. One more question and then you should go. Do you believe the earth is flat?
No, I don't believe the earth is flat. I believe the earth is a sphere. And I tend to think that the people who believe it's flat, and I don't want this to sound horrible, generally uneducated people, whether that's lack of education by necessity because they don't have the ability to be educated or ignorance. And I think they're often people who haven't done a lot of travel. That would be my guess. Because if you have traveled, I mean, all you got to do is go as far as you can go and realize that you can just keep going. So if anyone has bothered to try and fly, just nonstop or go in a boat nonstop, then they would, even if you've gone to the other side of the world, you can see the curvature when you're in a plane. So all I'm saying is if you've never had that experience, then maybe I could see how you would maybe fall into the trap of thinking it's all a big conspiracy. But if you've been above the clouds and seen how you can't just see never endingly and the earth does have a bit of a curve to it, then I think there's enough evidence with that plus science, plus what we're told about the world that we can deduce that it is in fact a sphere. Plus, I don't think the space missions are all hoaxes. So there's that too.
So you're an evidence plus science guy then?
On this topic? Sure.
All right.
Well, I think I have no idea
how I'm going to edit this all together.
Just everybody, so baptize your babies. That's what we're trying to say.
Wait, did I do that? The humidity thing was not meant to link to that at all. Just because you might live in a humid climate, it doesn't mean your babies should be instantly baptized every time they step outside.
Anyhow. All right, man. Well,
and thanks. That's why the Baptists invented air conditioning. Bye, Craig.
See you guys. Have a good episode.
See ya.
Auf Wiedersehen. They don't, or do they speak German down there?
How do I turn off the camera thing?
Oh, I know. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to put that in the beginning, even before the music, just to make Craig angry. Because he likes the music being the first thing. Mm-hmm. But I'll put our little interview with him first. Also because it's really hard to edit that in anywhere that it makes sense.
It is 100% true. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to do the intro. Hello and welcome to episode 164 of The Tech Reformation, where the world of technology meets the worldview of Christianity. Craig was somewhere in this episode, and it's Hank, Joe, and myself, David, today. Let's get started. Joe, I hear you have a topic for us.
You know, I do. I do.
I'm not inserting crickets there, if that's what you wanted.
Okay, so no, my topic was because I've seen some stuff about it recently this week, and it's just something that I was kind of curious what our crew's take would be on it, is the subject of the flat Earth, especially as it's put forward as a Christian cosmology. A lot of the adherence to flat Earth would be claim that it's the one true Christian way of looking at cosmology. And then why is that gaining traction? And is that traction real traction, or is there just more of a surge in reporting on it? There's been some fairly high profile documentaries that have come up around it recently. Netflix put out a really good documentary on it. I think it's Beyond the Edge or Off the Edge. We'll get a link to it in the show notes. And then Jake Paul, who's a very well-known YouTuber, did a kind of a mockumentary about it. Honestly, his was a pretty tongue-in-cheek tone that was, I think, kind of honestly pretty rude towards the adherents, and also just kind of, he just kind of has a crass way of interacting. I don't recommend his little documentary thing. But It's been in the news a lot, and there's several articles in tech journals and things like that, and in science journals very recently talking about it yet again. So, yeah, that was my ideas. Let's talk about the flat Earth and what do we think about that.
So we already heard from Craig, but why don't we go around the room and just say whether or not we believe in a flat Earth?
Okay. I will start. I have had times where I have gone and looked into it and started to find, oh, wow, some of those arguments are shockingly difficult to parse and whatnot. And then doesn't take very much research, in my opinion, to debunk the whole flat Earth thing. I think the Earth is a sphere hung in space. And I believe that to put the nose on something that will probably have a, well, anyway. So I believe that we are on a sphere that floats in space. So, and I believe that the planets are not any sort of projections upon some sort of a dome above us. I believe they are real things out in space, and that we have sent spaceships and probes and things like that out into our solar system and even beyond our solar system. So that's my take on it. How about you, Ryan? Oh, I'm sorry. Tank. T-Money.
T-Money is acceptable.
I'll stick with that. That's the
name. J-Money.
I have done almost no research on it, but I do not believe in a flat Earth.
Oh man, you went the wrong way if you've done almost no research. Sorry.
I'll change now. You convinced me.
There's probably going to be some people that are going to. I'm not trying to offend anyone. I truly am not. I think you can look at it from a certain perspective and find some of the arguments compelling. But I think if you take the time and do the research, I'm not sure how people land at the flat Earth side of things.
Our sponsor this week is Missionalware, your Reformed theology gift shop. Missionalware prints apparel, drinkware, accessories, and more with beautiful artwork of historic creeds, quotes, and faces of various reformers. My wife and I will soon have the same iPad with the same keyboard cover. This is going to be confusing, like bad romantic comedy plotline confusing. So one of us is going to have to customize our iPads with stickers or decals. Luckily, Missionalware has tons of Reformed stickers, so I don't have to settle for something lame, like a band name or a generic Apple logo. I can be my quirky theological hipster self, even down to the cover of my iPad. To grab some Reformed stickers, t-shirts, posters, or even just to browse their great designs, check them out at missionalware.com to get your lifestyle on mission to the glory of God. Thanks to Missionalware for sponsoring the Tech Reformation. I've seen a handful of arguments. Most of them I haven't even clicked on. The one time I did see something that looked interesting about Flat Earth and I clicked on it, it turned out to be a cleverly disguised Rick Roll video. So I don't believe in a Flat Earth.
But do you believe
I did find the Rick Roll video
let you go
compelling?
Let you down or hurt you? Just curious.
So there's that. But I'm curious, I guess, about the Christian perspective, like why, like today I literally did just a little bit of research because I know there was some, there were some quotes from the reformers who were generally, at the very least, geocentrist, meaning they believed that the planets revolve around, the planets and the sun revolve around the Earth. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, That's the one for me that's a little bit tricky, because all movement in space is relative. Like we don't know whether we're sitting still or we're moving, because the only thing we have to compare ourselves to is other things that we don't know if they're standing still or moving. Mm-hmm. And the solar system model that we have is basically just a theory. It's a good theory because it accounts for all the movement that we see. But there are systems that explain the Earth is not moving that technically work. They're just way more complicated. So Occam's razor, you know, if you believe the simplest solution is generally correct, then sure, then being a heliocentrist makes sense. But I don't know where I stand on that particular issue. And I don't think that's actually crazy.
No, I mean, the thing that I appreciated about the Netflix documentary on this is that they, I actually thought they handled, like they treated the people, the adherents to this with a degree of respect and kindness and not like just mocking. And I think that as a Christian, when we come across something where we think, well, that's just, you know, weird or stupid or whatever, for us to then immediately mock that and be demeaning towards those who, you know, claim adherence to it is so off-putting that it's for the sake of a scientific thing that we would think it'd be, you know, say that this is pretty much, this is a truth. We would lose, you know, drive someone away and maybe someone would be driven away from Christ and his people over our way of treating them in regards to something like this. And I think this is a, you know, this would be kind of a, that would be a silly thing to, I don't know. I mean, I think there's clearly a right and a wrong in this particular thing, at least as far as the research that I've done. But I think it's kind of a, we can be pretty condescending and pretty un-Christian in our, or uncharitable in our responses to people in regards to these things. Yeah, I'd have to look into some of the heliocentric stuff. I've heard of that, but I haven't heard of that in recent history. And I would say the biggest concern I'd have with that is things like sending out space probes and, you know, sending out that sort of thing. The space exploration and the heliocentric thing, either if the heliocentric thing is true, then there's a big conspiracy and a bunch of lies about space exploration. And that's
not the case though, because like what we're basically doing is trying to explain a whole bunch of things that are either moving or not moving, and figuring out which one is moving relative to the others can be done without actually knowing which one is moving and which one is not. Everything, including all of the space probes that we've sent, all the math still checks out if the Earth is stationary. It's just like realistically, I think what was interesting to me on this, and this, the reason that I bring it up is because the flat earthers are trying to argue, essentially, the Bible makes statements about the sun rising and setting. The Bible makes statements about the nature of the Earth that a lot of people who are not flat earthers or who believe that the planets revolve around the sun would say are metaphorical. And that's not a bad thing to do. Like probably are metaphorical, but it is interesting because if you do research into the science on it, like scientists are pretty convinced, but the basis for their conviction is Occam's razor, essentially, that like, while it could be the case that everything revolves around the sun, that model would just be so much more complicated that it's really unlikely to have happened. But if you mean
opposite that, right?
Yeah, sorry. But if you believe in a sovereign God who put the planets in place anyway, then like, why not complicated? Like, you know, if you were to Occam's razor everything, you'd have to do away with bumblebees and cells, and like none of it makes sense because it's all so complicated.
Except for the tardigrades. Those guys make sense all the time.
So anyway, I think it's important that whatever we do, we're still saying the Bible means what it says. Like when the Bible says that the sun rose or the sun set, it means what it says. It just may or may not be metaphorical. And while there's strong scientific reasons to believe that the Earth may revolve around the sun, there are also reasons to believe that who knows. Whereas right. The flat Earth issue is pretty much settled.
Have you ever had that experience where you're sitting like on a bus or in a train or something, and you suddenly feel like, oh, we're moving, And then you realize that the train next to you is the one moving.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's essentially the principle that's being called upon here in the heliocentric versus geocentric discussion.
It's always fun. And then I try to get my brain to think again that I'm the one moving and it refuses to do so. So stubborn.
That darn stupid brain.
I guess it found that point of relativity, relatedness, that point that it can latch onto to say whatever it was, I don't know, to say, actually, we're not the ones moving. And then it keeps seeing that and refusing to ignore it.
Yeah, I think the other thing you do is once you realize that the thing next to you is the thing moving, then you look for a different reference point. And once your brain is settled on a different reference point, then it's like, well, it can't be. It's kind of like when you're in a car and it stopped at an intersection and a car next to you starts to back up and it feels like you're rolling forward. And then you're like, wait, no, I can look at the lines on the pavement. I'm not moving. Mm-hmm. So it's that car next to me that's backing up, you know, that sort of a thing. And so you find a different reference and then your brain, it's difficult to fool it at that point, mm-hmm. at least in the same way.
Yep.
So what are your take? What's your take on the Christian arguments that and I think some of the thoughts that you espouse, David, would be germane to this discussion. But what are your take on when people say, "Well, the flat Earth is the only Christian way of looking at it because." I'm trying to think of how it's been phrased, but basically that if the world it's kind of, I guess, kind of the heliocentric thing versus the geocentric thing would be kind of part of this question, because if the world, what they're saying is if the world is round, then the earth is not the center and God created the world to be the center. And so I'm a terrible advocate for this argument because I don't know it because I don't use it. So, but I know in some of those articles that they talked about, there was talk of, I guess it was more in the, specifically in the, one of the documentaries, they talked about how, as Christians, you kind of had to believe in a flat earth, and people that aren't believing it are believing these lies that are being foisted upon them by this kind of vast conspiracy to make science people's God rather than God, people's God.
I remember a long time hearing ago, I remember a long time ago hearing the firmament concept in Genesis 1. That just, I also don't know the details, but I do remember people arguing that description in Genesis 1 really shows a picture of kind of like a layered structure of earth and then sky and then the heavens and a firmament between the two. And so like stars are maybe holes in the firmament of light showing through. I don't remember the details of that, but, but maybe it's just that concept of perhaps the Bible portrays a layered system of the world. And so a flat earth allows for that layered concept. I mean, I guess a circular earth would allow for a onion type layer concept. So yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah, it seems like. And this is why I brought up the heliocentric thing, is it seems like a lot of the arguments, because even if you have a layered thing, like that does still work with a sphere. Like if you've ever seen the Russian eggs thing, like you can totally have layers around a sphere. That's fine. It still works. There are a couple arguments about being able to see something. One is in a vision, which seems entirely metaphorical in Daniel. And then there's the Son of Man coming in the clouds and every eye shall see him. But all he would have to do at that point is go around the world and then every eye would be able to see him. So I don't think that you need that you can take that and say, oh, because every eye will be able to see Jesus. Like if Jesus shows up above New York, Australia can't see him. Sorry, Craig. But, you know, if he just went around the world, like why not? I mean, he's riding on a cloud, for crying out loud. This isn't like, or it's entirely possible, like the God controls all the air molecules. It's entirely possible that light would be bent in such a way so that every eye could see him. You don't need a flat earth in order to have that verse in your Bible. The strongest argument that they have for anything is there are several verses that says that God fixed the earth as firm and immovable. Now, you could pretty easily metaphorically say that just means that the ground beneath you doesn't move unless it does, you know, in an earthquake, which God also causes. But, you know, if what's interesting to me is that while science just blows flat earth out of the water, I think most scientists would have to say that, yeah, it's possible for a heliocentric model to exist, which is why, like, this is why I don't know. Like, I don't think the text is so clear that it can't be solar centric. And I don't think that science is so clear that it can't be heliocentric. And I'm comfortable with that. But as far as the flat earth biblical arguments go, I just don't find them convincing. It seems like you're trying to stretch the texts. The best you could prove, I think, is a heliocentric system.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, that makes sense to me. The other thing that's kind of brought about by this is, if this is true, if it really is a flat earth, then what sort of levels of kind of vast conspiracy are you dealing with to promulgate this lie, if it is a lie, you know, that we never went to the moon. This is a, you know, the whole NASA space program, all that stuff is a lie. It's all made up. And all the pictures you see about Earth are all fabrications, artist renderings, or
if in fact these things are true, then you've got, you know, all of these, you know, literally thousands of people who are in on this conspiracy that are, that know that it's not true and are keeping that from the general public. And then, you know, and I think, to me, it's like if God, again, if God is sovereign and the world is in fact flat, or if our world, you know, if we're on a geocentric versus a heliocentric system, then I think that God can, you know, God is sovereign and can certainly reveal that to his people. And I think that he's, in a way, it kind of reminds me of some of the religious movements like Mormonism or something, where they say, you know, all these truths, you know, somewhere before 400 AD, all the truths of Christendom were lost, and they were lost for 1400 years. And thankfully, here's this guy, and he's bringing them back. You know, it's like, well, I don't think, I think that gives the enemy too much credence and too much power to say that he could do that, and that God would just stand aside and let him. I guess that's kind of part of my take on it, you know, the whole conspiracy thing. There certainly are conspiracies, but I don't buy this particular one.
I thought it was interesting, in one of the articles you posted, it was explaining YouTube's kind of blame in propagating these theories. Like, yes, we would have to believe a lot of things are lies, and believe and kind of think a lot of things have been faked and hear a lot of misinformation to come to believe that. And what the article was suggesting is that people, to one, there has to be a state of mind where you're kind of open to it, but watching YouTube every day, you kind of think, oh, it'd be interesting to find out like why people think we didn't go to the moon. And they watch that, and then YouTube suggests, hey, here's this video by about why flat earth is true. And you I'll watch it, it's up next. And then you watch that, and it's, hey here's another one. And then you just kind of go down this rabbit hole, and they're suggesting you never get led to actual experts on the topic, of like scientific experts who are saying the opposite. Because what YouTube wants you to do is keep watching, and it thinks you're going to keep watching these videos that say flat earth is real. So it keeps suggesting it. And over time, it has become what leads people towards flat Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of the confirmation bias and how people will want to watch things that are, that aren't arguing against the things that they were watching before. And so it keeps offering you more of the same stuff. You know, I started watching videos on music production, for instance. And as I started watching those, I start seeing more and more of those filtering into my feed and different people that are doing similar things. But what's interesting is I've looked at like electronic music production, you know, EDM and things like that. And I don't see a bunch of videos of people about how to play piano or how to play guitar or people doing violin or things like that, because it's the algorithm is going, well, this is the sort of stuff that he's checking. So I don't want to suggest things that he's not going to click on anyways. And I'm sure when it provides that list of 10 or 20 videos, every time it provides that list of videos, it goes, which ones did they pick on? Which ones did they not pick on? And if there's ones that you picked on, especially if you went, watched a video, hit back to get that same list again and picked on another one and like, okay, here's a couple that they really liked. And then here's some in that same list that they didn't pick. The algorithm has that information. And I mean, if there is a vast conspiracy, that would be it.
It's the algorithm.
It's the algorithm.
Yeah. On the note of the conspiracy, it does seem like, I mean, even if we said, oh yeah, no, God would totally be fine with us believing crazy things for hundreds of years, it does seem just outlandish that, like you said, Joe, that we're giving the enemy too much credit. Not in terms of being able to defy God necessarily, although there's that element as well, but also just like being that organized and managing to get everybody who learns the truth in the scientific community on board with lying to the world. And then there's the question, you know, you need means, which seems very difficult. Opportunity is also very difficult. And then you need motive. And that's the other question, which is like, to what end? Like, oh, great. Everybody thinks the world is flat. My evil plan is complete. And now, what did I, I guess that's all I accomplished. Like, motive seems to also be lacking on that.
Right.
But
yeah, I think that's the toughest. I've heard, you know, people ask that question, but I think that's the toughest question because I haven't really heard good answers to it is, what is, you know, if there is this vast conspiracy where all these people are involved, what do they gain? What's the big win for them? And the win seems to be kind of somewhat nebulous and more easily achieved through other means when they do suggest things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, because it seems like almost 2/3 of the population needs to be aware that the Earth is actually flat, but we pretend that it is round. Because like you get into things like air traffic control, you get into things like people who, you know, do transatlantic boat voyages. Like there are all kinds of people who would need to know that the Earth is actually flat and would also need to not tell anyone.
Right.
And Apple can't even hide what the iPhone is going to be like next year.
Yeah. Like
the most powerful rich company in the world can't manage that. So I don't know. But yeah, the algorithm is kind of an interesting thing, and it's kind of an interesting analogy to the other thing that is simultaneously happening, because you asked about the resurgence of this belief and why does it seem to be coming up more and more. And I can't help but think of Romans 1. Like, why does everybody seem to be accepting really dumb arguments? Well, because we're all sinful and God is giving us over, and part of that means professing to be wise, we become fools. And the algorithm seems to be a little microcosm of that. Like the YouTube algorithm seems to be something where, just like God gives us over to our sin and our stupidity, so also YouTube will give you over to your sin and your stupidity, because the more you choose of it, the more it gives you.
Interesting.
And that goes for pretty much all the social networks. And I think it's important to, I guess, like you were doing, Joe, that brought you to this topic, it's important to read outside of the, you know, to avoid the echo chamber. to read and to study outside of the things that would normally be the things that you consider, oh yes, this is truth. Like, find out what the other side is saying.
Yeah, and that's kind of, I think, one of the best benefits of hearing that is like just an awareness of what social network designers and YouTube designers and whatnot are working towards is, you know, getting us to keep clicking, keep seeing their ads and stuff, and keep spending more time on the platform, which because of some of our natural tendencies, we want to see more of what we already believe in, or what we're already kind of going down into with the flat earth. Just that realization that if I don't make effort, if I don't add a little bit of discipline and self-control in my life to not just take the easy path all the time and actually like think, oh, I wonder what's the other side of this argument is, and taking some time to research that, then all the things that technology designers have set up are likely going to lead us, not going to lead us to that quickly. And that was one of the articles was saying that YouTube is actually considering trying that. Like, how can we add in some expert advice, expert information, and like overlay facts on this, which was kind of interesting. And you could also have the argument, like, who decides the expert on things, but I guess degrees and whatnot. But
there's definitely some concerns about, I mean, you know, I'm on their side on this particular topic, but I know there's topics that I'm not on their side on. Mm. And so, you know, they start, you know, you start throwing out some Bible studies and then they start correcting your study with AI. I kind of go like, well, not sure if I want that. So, well, I think we've answered this completely.
We solved it.
We won't even bring this up for feedback in the Slack, so don't even bother going.
Another one solved, people. Yeah,
just send this video to any flat earth people out there. I'll turn them straight away.
I have another point to add to this, but I don't think we should discuss it now. I'd like to open this up to the Slack because we're running low on time here. But the thought that I have is this concept of like, how big is the earth? What is it shaped like? And, you know, do the planets revolve around it? It's something so big that you can't know like intuitively. Like if I were to ask you, is this coffee cup bigger than that coffee cup? Anybody could tell you that answer. But the question of the shape and nature of the planets is one that is inherently difficult to get to. And unless you are an expert, you are beholden to experts. And obviously we as Christians want to take the word of the Bible over and above the word of supposed experts. I mean, you know, if an expert comes out and says Jesus never existed, we want to believe the Bible over and against that expert. But this reminds me, like, the pattern of thought in a lot of these arguments is similar to the arguments against evolution and for creationism. Now, I'm a literal 6-day guy. Like, I'm not an evolutionist at all. But what you essentially, there's some of the arguments do come down to, well, the scientists couldn't know that because they weren't around. And the arguments for flat earth come down to, well, it's really hard to know how big the earth is. And are you going to trust a scientist or are you going to trust the Bible? And obviously those aren't the only arguments that they use. And there are obvious differences between these, but that's what I think would be another interesting point to add to this in the Slack. So if you'd like to join us on the Slack, you can get there by going to slack.techreformation.com.
There's also techreformation.com where you can see any of our past episodes.
And then there's also techreformation.compuserve.com, which doesn't exist.
But if it did, what would it do?
I got to go register that domain.
I don't think that's not how subdomains work. Subdomains work. All right. This has been the Tech Reformation. Thank you for listening, and we will see you again next week.
Woo. Sounds good. Au revoir. All right.
See ya.
Okay, I'm strapping my...
Okay. I thought you were going to jump right off because I thought you were like dead. But... Ah, nice.
before Monday. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
On that note, if you have a powered USB hub, that might work better for next time. I gotcha. All right. All right. Catch you guys on the flippity flip.
See ya. Bye.
See ya.